Hello, I'm Paul Scott, and today I'm talking to Mark Cambridge, CEO of Zytronic PLC, ticker ZYT. We're just doing a brief catch-up call today after the interim results. So first off, welcome, Mark.
Oh, thank you, Paul. Good to talk to you again.
Excellent. And so I thought initially, if we do a few questions later, but initially, if you want to maybe just update on the key points from today's interims.
Yeah, not a problem at all. I mean, obviously, I think that the key points really are the continuing momentum we've got in gross margin and gross profit. And obviously, we've come through with an increased profit before tax, up 8% from the same period last year. Profit is up 2.5% gross profit margin. EPS is up 10% to 9.5p diluted. And obviously, we're continuing with that fairly progressive dividend policy we've got, because obviously the cash generation and strong balance sheet, and we've increased the interim dividend by 10% to 3.45p. Now, all that being said, and I think obviously questions that probably will come about from all of this, is that we've done that all on the back of period comparisons of less than £100,000 less of revenue generated.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so reading the narrative, that seemed to be because you were sort of chasing higher margin work rather than chasing turnover growth.
I think in a sense, Paul, I think you've got a very good understanding of the business and the mix and the geographies and the application market. So we're never necessarily just sitting here chasing higher margin business. What we're doing is we're chasing touch business to the best of our ability, whether it's small sizes or big sizes, and we've often said we don't do anything in the business which is poor margin on the touch side. We've obviously always had that carryover a little bit of our non-touch traditional business that, again, we've been flagging for a long time that it probably was peaking around 2012, and as a consequence we're expecting to see that continually declining and drifting off the business. But the key to the going forward was continuing to see a revenue growth in the touchscreen side, and if we could continue to see growth coming in the larger format products that we do, we would constantly see improvement in the margin position that we're generating off the touch, because it's a non-linear relationship, and the bigger the panels we do, the better the margin.
Yeah, okay. And looking through your presentation slides, I noticed that looking at sectors, the gaming sector was very good, but the vending sector was not so good in terms of the overall number of units shipped. So could you expand on the reasons behind those two points?
And I'll expand a little bit further on a couple of the other ones as well at the same time.
Go for it.
I mean, obviously, gaming is a tremendous sector for us as we've emerged more and more with our technology and strength into that marketplace. We've obviously got the Curve product that's going very well into the gaming marketplace, and we've got a very active project that started off in the second half of 2015 and has obviously continued through into 2016, which is why when Yolande's looking at the comparators on that one, we're seeing such strength in gaming. If one was looking at the second half, then it's obviously a continuation story on that side of it. Obviously, what we've got on other things is we're also dealing with other things in the gaming marketplace, such as table-based roulette systems and such like, which are using big profile panels with lots of touch active surfaces on it, lots of design work in it, lots of value add, which obviously continues to strengthen up our positioning in gaming. Vending a little bit differently, again, I would say, What we're seeing is something, again, that we flagged up at the end of at the preliminaries in vending, that we said that we weren't going to be seeing period-on-period comparisons of the two H1s looking as strong, because we had such an uplift of the Coca-Cola coming back because of the stocking exercise they went through in the first half of the year because of the end of life of the display system that they were using. So again, this is something that we flagged up, and we're again expecting not necessarily to see like-for-like performances when one's looking at the year in vending. Now, again, when you roll it forward a little bit, some of the other areas also look a little bit weaker from the periods of comparison. I mean, financial, which obviously has generally shown reasonable growth that's coming through there, has sort of hit a stagnation point at this time, if one's looking at the numbers. But again, when one gets behind that a little bit, everything is going very well except China. And what we're experiencing in China is that traditionally we're dealing with, well, three of the world's global manufacturers, but the Chinese government has turned in on itself a little bit in the financial side and instructed financial institutions that basically they've got to buy Chinese, which obviously is putting our particular customers in the Chinese market at a little bit of a disadvantage at this moment in time. I mean, obviously they're looking at how longer term they can get round that by potentially doing joint ventures and things like this, but there's that sort of thing that's going on in the background. Industrial, again, looks a little bit weaker than where it was the prior period, but unfortunately, Zitronic in its own little world has suffered from the oil and gas industry demise, you know, where a lot of projects that we had going, a good one in the industrial side, and ones that were due to emerge and come through from our opportunities log, were oil and gas related. You know, we were selling a touchscreen to an equipment manufacturer whose market was selling to the installers of rigs and the installers of drilling equipment and things like that around the globe. So we've seen a little bit of hit on that side of it. So that, you know, there's always swings and roundabouts in everything that we do, and mix is always an important factor. You know, and which is why if one's looking at the presentation, and if anybody if anybody wants to see that, it is on the website. They can go to the appropriate presentations and results section, and that's on there now. You can see the graphical representation of everything we've got there, and the reason I've put it over sort of six years of period was to really continue to show that there's never been anything really steady in anything that we do in any of the marketplaces. That's the nature of the business. But if you want looking at slide 9, if they go to look at it, what we've done is we've combined two graphs in that sense. We've got the touchscreen graph, which if one's looking at it, okay, if one's looking in totality, it's continuing to show growth, which I guess what we're measuring ourselves against, although there's variation in the mix. But one can see clearly on the bottom graph the drawdown or the decline that we're seeing in the non-touch element of it, which was always, as we were saying, good cash generating, but it was going to get to a point where it was a margin drag. So to see it come down, to see the touchscreens going up, you know, for us, that's the measure of that's the underlying measure of the performance, what's going forward, not a top-line measure, combining all of these things to see it just hasn't slightly moved if one's looking at the total.
Okay. And if we can just look at seasonality as well, I noticed last year you had quite a strong uplift in profits in the second half compared with the first half. The broker forecast for the current year anticipate the same sort of seasonality. So does that relationship still hold?
Well, I mean, there's always been, I mean, I'm saying always, we had one year in 2012 where we didn't, but we've always seen a significantly stronger second half compared with first half in revenue terms and in profitability terms. Even 2013, which was, you know, the watershed disaster year out of the 15 years that we'd done, we had a significantly second half than we had first half. I think there's costs in the first half that don't necessarily repeat themselves in the second half. You know, we move out of the sort of the winter period into the summarized in the spring summer period, and we move into our second half. And again, because of the nature of the product that we build and where we sell it to, you know, we seem to see an uplift in requirements running around that period. So I think that's where a degree of seasonality comes from. It's just the way our fiscal year runs. You know, we've got things that are still in there. I mean, you picked up on it last year again regarding our endeavor to get to currency neutrality across the year. That we continue to that process of keeping the sort of the 12 months of rolling contracts in place. It just so happens that what we've seen again in 2016 compared with 2015 is again a dropping of the pound and the strengthening of those currencies, which is great at the sales and the sales line particularly, obviously offset by our purchases line, but we've obviously then carrying that provision of charge within the overheads for the contract valuations. So, you know, in those numbers, there's still a £400,000 in this year again, at this moment in time, provisional charge for the currency contracts.
But it could easily swing the other way, couldn't it? So it just, I suppose it just gives us sort of certainty on the numbers to a certain, well, not certainty, but you know what I mean. No nasty additional surprises to the forest.
I mean, in a sense, we're trying to smooth it out. We're not trying to generate profits on the basis of seeing a strengthening currencies.
Yes, yes, I see. And touching on that, actually, do you see any risk from Brexit?
It's an interesting question. Obviously, everybody is giving consideration to that. I think in the short term, I would say for Zitronic, I would say no, only because the nature of what we build, who we sell it to, in all the markets that we sell, you know, people want our product. They're not going to be able to swap it in with something else once it's all designed, that's built in. So there's a, you know, what's there now, they will be buying. I think longer term, there obviously has to be a recognition that if there is an exit, we do end up with some sort of trading tariffs associated with that. Would we as a business be able to pass on the tariffs, or will we have to absorb them, which therefore would affect margin? I think it's probably more the latter than the former. I think we'd probably end up having to just absorb the tariffs rather than sort of thinking that we would get more pricing for our product in the marketplace. I mean, we're no different from anybody else. You know, there's competition out there, there's pricing pressures that are always put on from that competition. You know, we're there to be shot at by people. You know, we're looking to see where we can drive forward ourselves at the best price that we can get, maintaining the margins.
Yeah, okay. And on the outlook, you didn't specifically say anything today about performance against market expectations. I mean, is there anything to be read into that?
I think it's always difficult to sort of put an outlook together when one can't be completely quantitative and you're looking at being qualitative. I think it's a first summation of the position we've come through the first couple of months, and certainly we're not seeing any change in the proportionality of the touch to non-touch in the business. We continue to see opportunities coming through on the touch. We've got opportunities in the pipeline that's sitting behind it. But again, in conversations that we've had and your recognition of the business, you know, it's short visibility. You know, and we get orders in daily, and over a 30-day cycle, I would say that we normally have shipped out 90% plus of the orders that we've received in that 30-day cycle. So there's not a big extending order book that's always out there. I mean, we obviously are looking at the business in a sort of a 4-month window at any time, and are forecasting on a 3-month window change. But you know, we're not going to know exactly what that position is going to be, depending on how currency moves, what the orders come in, the mix, whether we get more of the bigger panels coming in, the exact positioning, really, until we're into September.
Yes, I see. Okay, fair enough. I mean, as we've said before, it's just an inherent, it's just the way the business is, isn't it? And there's limited visibility, and people have to accept that.
Exactly, Paul. The business is what it is at this moment in time in that form. It's short visibility, it's project-based, there's a mix element to it, there's a geographical mix element to it, you know, and all of those combine together to provide the performance measures that we've got. I think the key really is continuing to see the growth in the touchscreen side. Not only in revenues, but obviously as you picked up, a sort of, if we can see more of the bigger sizes coming through proportionally, that's obviously a good drive for the business that will keep everything fueled.
Yes, okay. I mean, you mentioned on the gaming side, you mentioned sort of multiplayer roulette wheels, which sounds quite interesting. Because, I mean, I was in a casino in Poland a few weeks ago, and they had these old-fashioned touch screens for roulette. But it was one sort of, maybe, I don't know, 20-inch screen per player. You know, they had their own individual screen. So I'm intrigued by what you're saying about multiplayer tables.
Yeah, I mean, if you had a chance to go to the ICE show, which was in London at the, I can't remember, the beginning or end of February, but that's the big European gaming show. What you've seen is one of our customers that were there basically had what is a digital roulette table system. So it's a big 85-inch touchscreen monitor solution where obviously you have the roulette wheel in the middle, which was digitally represented, and then... Mm-hmm. Then on the same table, you had 8 betting roulette areas, which were individual screens. It was all part of the one big screen entity.
Yeah.
And that's the type of thing that Zitronic can bring through and offer to the marketplace. It's that bespokeness, flexibility in our ability to shape, you know, do different sizes, do different thicknesses, make a one player area, make a full size player area if they want, sort of, you know, add notches to it if they want to make certain areas specific. We can put holes in it if they want to put payment systems in. We can put border systems on to create individualized areas if that's what they want. You know, this is what the customer bases are all paying for when they're basically when they're dealing with Zitronic's product.
Is there anyone else in the market offering a similar solution that can cope with eight people simultaneously doing lots of touches on it?
I mean, there'll be people that will be say that they can, but obviously we've got one that's out there. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
okay.
We're no different to any situation that we've ever been in the past, Paul. It's, you know, there's always technologies who can go to that sort of size. It's whether the customer itself can design that particular technology into the format that they want. What we've got is all of those building blocks internally to allow that to happen from not only producing and shaping the product as the glass, but to ensuring that the firmware is tweaked to be bespoke to that customer's requirement. You know, the software that's sitting on there to drive it is bespoke and tweaked to the customer's requirement to make sure it all works. And, you know, it's that one-shop mentality that the customers have to come for. They're not trying to cherry-pick the items.
Yes, I see. And often there's a problem with latency, isn't there, on touch screens? I mean, is that something that your screens exhibit, the larger ones?
If one's looking at how quickly does our information translate from eye touch to the system receiving the data, it's milliseconds.
Okay.
But what you basically have is all of the bloatness of the system itself, and then taking that information and driving it on the slower displays and doing all of that. That basically looks as if it's laggy. It's not the information directly from our system that creates the lag. That's almost instantaneous. It's everything else that the system is battling with to convert that into something you're seeing as a movement and a touch.
Yeah, I see. Yeah,
and some systems are better than it, and some systems are not so good. I mean, obviously, everybody at this moment is driving to use sort of 4K monitors because of the resolution that you're getting from them and the clarity. But their refresh rates are slow when one's trying to drive a touch system.
Mm.
So that's partly where the lag comes from at the same time.
Okay. And I always ask you about cash as well. I mean, the cash pile is just relentlessly increasing, which is great, obviously. I mean, it's now up to, I think, net cash 62p a share, so quite material to the valuation. I mean, looking at the numbers, the balance sheet's so strong, I would have thought there's scope for a sort of 40 or 50p special dividend now, isn't there?
As it stands at this moment in time, I'm going to have to answer that and say no. In premise, you're probably right, but in practice, we haven't got that level of distributable reserves to put that amount out.
Yeah, but that can be fixed relatively.
Well, that's what I'm saying. In principle, as it stands now, we can't. But obviously, that's something that we're looking at.
Okay, good. I mean, the other thing is, you know, I know you said you don't want to do acquisitions, but if you've got 10 million quid sitting in the bank doing nothing, it might just be worth buying some other business that, if you find something that's cheap and that's going to chuck off loads of additional earnings.
I think you're quite right, Paul. I think I haven't actually said we would never. I think what we would said is we would never do something that was just speculative with the cash.
Right, yeah.
I think you're quite right. If we came across something that was solid and additive, then it was a good use of the money. Certainly, we would certainly seriously have a closer look at that. When we're trying to find something that is immediately complementary, you know, in the areas that we're dealing with at this moment in time, we're not seeing something that falls into that boat that's complementary. What we are seeing is things which were highly risk as far as, you know, newish technologies that have not been proven. And you know, to use the cash to go and burn something along those lines in the very short term under a risk is not something that we would look to do.
No, absolutely. No, I totally agree on that front. Brilliant. Okay. Well, that's been really useful. Thanks, Mark. Any sort of closing remarks you'd like to make?
No, I think, I mean, obviously a little bit disappointed to see how the share price has reacted to the information. I guess in a sense we were hoping, you know, people would see, you know, the underlying position, which is strengthening the touch and the diversity of everything we're continuing to do and the deliverables we're bringing through on that. But I get this feeling it's sort of been masked a little bit with people just seeing us not having grown the top line. I'm not sure that's true, but, you know, it's, I would say, you know, the message is continuation. You know, the strength in everything that we're continuing to do, and the touch technology is still, you know, riding its position in the marketplace.
Excellent. And the shares have been pretty strong performers in the last
year or two, so
they can't
take advantage and taking profits at this moment in time, which I can't blame them for.
Good, excellent. Well, really appreciate your time today, Mark. Thanks ever so much.
No problem.
And let's chat again in 6 months' time.
Will do. Great to speak to you again.
Thanks, Mark. Bye.
Thanks, Paul. Bye.